What's going on, everybody? Welcome to a brand new episode of The Practical Podcast, a place where we achieve the awareness of growth and health. Let's give it a shot.
What is going on, everybody? I hope you are having the best day of all time. My name is Tyler Richardson, and I'm so excited that you are here for another episode of The Practical Podcast. And there's just a lot happening right now, just in my life. I'm actually getting ready to have my first baby, which is a very bizarre situation, but super excited about it. And it has created a lot of interesting conversations and a lot of interesting daydreaming and thought processes of just preparing for what this next phase looks like and all the things that entails. And I know also in the ministry world right now, for many of us that work in ministry, work in church, whether we travel or whether we are a part of a local church, whatever it might be, we have been in such a severe season of busyness, honestly, even since last year. What happens is, by the time you have Christmas, some people are preparing for Christmas, honestly, in July. And then the fall, with all of its own busyness, is integrated with rehearsals and planning and scheduling. Then you have Christmas, and then you have not only the busyness of your personal schedule and plans for the Christmas and the holiday season, you actually blend into that all of the ministry responsibilities you have, which are probably some of the most, if not the most, busy that you have of the entire year. Then you get done with that, start a new year, get a Planet Fitness membership, and then before you know it, you are already off to the races preparing for Easter. And so honestly, August, September, up until Easter is just it's a busy time for many of us. And where me and my wife are right now, it's not really the same level of busyness that it once was. It was like D-Day every day at one point in our lives. And maybe you can relate. And I think there's just such an interesting thing when you are going through the ringer of just getting over all of your responsibilities from the holidays, Christmas, and then prepping for Easter. It's like a monumental day and a monumental season followed by a monumental day and a monumental season. And if pastors or ministry staffs, if they get nervous and stressed out about any 2 days or any two seasons, it is Christmas and Easter. And wouldn't you know it, they're basically 3 months apart. And I think I have seen that put so much strain on so many people in one capacity or another. There is so much responsibility on that we put on ourselves and others put on ourselves. Like, these are the days. Like, people that never come to church come to church for Christmas, and people that never come to church come to church on Easter. It's just, for whatever reason, those are the 2 days that culturally we just accept. We come and we sing some songs, and then we get an Easter basket, and then we don't do it again until the following year. And one thing I just really wanted to highlight for everybody, just while you're in the middle of this, is you'll probably notice that I will kind of circle back to this on several occasions, but that is really just to give an anchor point for what I want this podcast to be. And what I want this podcast to be is to be an anchor point for people specifically who are early in ministry, or maybe you've been in ministry for a little while, but honestly, you are wore out. You are tapped out. You have, you're probably considering quitting or retiring early or whatever it might be. And I just want to encourage you that you can survive working for God. I had a lot of friends in college and honestly even in high school that we knew how to love God, we knew how to love people, we knew how to serve people, we knew how to make programs, we knew how to make a plan, we knew how to do outreach, we knew how to knock on doors and evangelize, and we knew how to hide salvation tracks behind toilets, and we knew how to do all the things like that. But I don't know if in the middle of seminary and in the middle of learning Greek and in the middle of learning how to preach and what tone of voice to use and how to use certain allegories and certain poems and how to dress a certain way and how to integrate media a certain way and all of those things. In the middle of all of that training, which was substantial and I think helpful, I don't know necessarily if we were given proper training and prep for how to handle the nuts and bolts of what ministry honestly looks like. And ministry is beautiful. Ministry is rewarding. Ministry is, honestly, it's dumbfounding how consistently you can be involved at a church or in a ministry and look back and be like, I can't believe I get to do this. I can't believe these people's lives are getting changed. These testimonies are coming in. These people are being impacted. And there's a lot of gratitude that comes with ministry. But I have noticed that there is often not a lot of openness and honesty about creating actual practical applications and steps for understanding the nuts and bolts of ministry that are very tricky, that are very difficult to sometimes articulate because we don't want to be honest. We feel like maybe there's a better way to word it or to phrase it that doesn't make it look so bad, or what we think looks bad. But I think we don't necessarily prep people for attitudes. We don't prep people for stress levels. We don't prep people for guidelines. We don't prep people for communication procedure. We don't prep people for how to navigate a calendar, how to navigate when that calendar basically gets completely changed, or how the calendar is behind and everybody is now working overtime for free, probably, to catch up, or somebody is having a dramatic season and now everybody's either having to walk on eggshells or to adjust their own schedules to accommodate it. And there's so many juggling facets of personalities, and everybody pretty much is on the same page with so many facets, like the big things, like we all love Jesus, we all love people, we want people to find Jesus and deepen their relationship with Jesus. Most people, put them in a room, we're all going to agree on that. The problem is going to come into play when we ask everybody, what do you feel like is the best way to do that? What is the best way that you think to get to that goal, get to that target? Some people think the best way to serve Jesus is to get a church with 1,000 people in it. Some people think it's 10,000. Some people think it is an infinite number. Some people think it is only 10 people, but those 10 people are the most healthy believers that the world has ever seen. Or some churches believe the best way to serve Jesus and to serve their ministries is to only do missions. And some people believe it's only to focus on the poor. And for some people, it's only to focus on worship. And for some people, only to focus on the miraculous signs and wonders facet. And for some, it's all about making money. And we all have this, we all have a target that looks and feels the same, but our methods of how to get from A to Z is where the friction could come into play. And that is where the attitudes and the personalities and the preferences can kind of get in the mix, where then all of a sudden we are offended, then all of a sudden we are hurt, then all of a sudden we feel like we've been abused, then all of a sudden we feel like we've been manipulated, or we haven't been properly utilized, or we don't feel like we've been put in a situation where we can thrive, or whatever the case may be. And I think that, again, that's because we have received so much training on the big picture and how to create a very clear target and goal. But the practical steps of how to get to A to Z, not just with ourselves, but as a group, as a team, as a staff, as a church, as a ministry, as a movement, as a group, how to get from A to Z by yourself is one thing. And in a lot of cases, it's actually not that difficult, or it's at least way less difficult. But getting a group of people, I've heard several people, several ministers, in sermons make the point, like, one of the miracles of the children of Israel getting out of Egypt and getting to the promised land is not that they got there. The miracle is that it involved millions of people getting there. It's not just that a handful of people left Egypt and a handful of people entered the promised land, or a handful of people went through the Red Sea on dry ground. It's not that. That in itself is as impressive as understanding it is the collective unit going through the Red Sea. It is the collective unit of people walking into the purpose that God has for them that has the biggest impact. Me trying to drive from the West Coast of the United States to the East Coast of the United States, you know, there's traction, there's planning, there's things that I've got to be taken into account for me to get to, let's say, you know, the top of Oregon all the way to the south part of Florida. I've got to look at hotels. I've got to look at gas stations. I've got to, you know, figure out what chips I'm going to eat. And in the middle of all of that, I kind of have a general calmness that that trip can be seen and brought to fulfillment. But if I decide I'm going to take 100,000 people with me on that journey, it doesn't matter that these people are adults. It doesn't matter that they have money. It doesn't matter if they don't have money. It doesn't matter if they're educated. It doesn't matter if they have good people skills. It doesn't matter if they had great childhoods or horrible childhoods. It doesn't matter if they're married or divorced. It doesn't matter if they have kids or don't even want to have kids. It doesn't matter if they have raging addictions. It doesn't matter if they're the purest people that have ever lived. Regardless, the reality is that it's probably going to be a shuffle of all the above that I'm dealing with in that 100,000. And then I have to get all of those people across the United States. By myself, it would probably take 3 or 4 days, depending how much I decided to, you know, sleep or how long I wanted to drive. All of a sudden, taking 100,000 people, if I'm responsible for those 100,000 people, or if their success is directly correlated to my success, the trip's probably going to be longer, and there's going to be tons of ups and downs, and I'm going to have tons of starter conversations and where so-and-so, is this hotel good? And do these people have any allergies? And is this okay? And blah, 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 blah. And I think so often when we are in a busy season, when we are in a season where people are stressed because they're like, listen, if we got to get any day right, it's got to be Easter. If we're going to get any season right, it's got to be the holidays. If we're going to get any time right, it's got to be now. The singers have got to be getting it right. The message has got to be on point. The volunteers have got to be the nicest and the most friendly. We've got to have our graphics as the best as they've ever been. If we've ever done a production, it's got to be the biggest budget it's ever been. And everything has got to be on the top level. And since everybody around a table feels the most pressure and eyes are on them, they naturally feel very stressed. Then all of a sudden they look around everybody around them and they feel like if they get in trouble, they're like, well, I'm not going down, you know, without a fight, let alone by myself. We're all collectively going to take part into the success or failure of what this looks like or what this season or this day or this event looks like. And with that, I have noticed that is where the fatigue of ministry comes in so strong. That is where the desire of, you know what, maybe I don't need to do ministry. Maybe I just need to get a normal job, be a real estate agent, sell some insurance, do whatever, and I will just tithe. I will love God. I will love people. I will serve when I can, if at all. And I will just love God, go to heaven, and forget all this. It's too much. And maybe you feel like you are in the middle of that. Maybe you feel like you are working too many hours that are not being seen. Maybe you feel like you are a part of a team and a staff that is supposed to collectively be working on one facet, and you feel like you're working at it alone, or you feel like nobody's doing the work you are doing, or nobody is seeing what you are nobody's seeing your contribution as it is to you, as big of a deal as it is to you. And maybe you feel like, man, you've sung all the songs, and man, you're just tired. Your faith is tired. Your body is tired. Your voice is tired. Or maybe you're thinking, I'm an executive pastor and I'm trying my best to keep the books and I'm trying to make sure everybody stays motivated and hands stay clean, but that we have real life things we got to prep for. We got to prep for budgets. We got to prep for this, and we got to prep for things that, you know, maybe the people over here who want to worship and pray all day aren't thinking about. And so I look like the bad guy and the villain coming in to ruin everybody's Jesus party by talking about practical steps. And whatever seat you may fall in, ministry is not for the, it's not for the weak person. It is not for the person who does not like, putting in a challenge. And I just wanted to take a moment on this episode for anybody specifically who has just been going through the ringer, specifically if you actually have been doing ministry not that long and you are thinking to yourself, what have I gotten myself into? And I cannot believe I'm working so hard and I'm working way harder than I thought I was going to. And sometimes I feel like I'm the only one working, or sometimes I feel like I'm the only one trying, or the only one who has to adapt to personalities when they don't feel like they need to adapt their personalities. I just need to adapt to their personalities. And you're learning office cliques, and you're learning politics, and you're learning ladder systems, and you're learning things that for the most part probably shouldn't be there. And for the most part, even if there's a certain facet of them that are okay to be there, maybe there are steps that really need to be changed. And you are trying to figure out, are you an agent of that change? Or are you just supposed to take this as a sign that you're supposed to go somewhere else? And so many things can be going through your mind, and so many things can be going through your emotions, whether you're single, whether you're married, whether you have kids, whether you are, you know, none of those things. I think it is a situation where I just feel like we need to remind ourselves. In the busiest seasons and in the hardest seasons, I think it's the best time to remind ourselves why we felt like we were supposed to do this in the first place. I think these are the perfect moments to remind ourselves when we felt called to do ministry in some facet. Now, some of you may do ministry full-time. Maybe some of you do it vocationally part-time. Maybe some of you work a different job so you can do ministry for free. But regardless of what it is, maybe you had an experience in children's church. Maybe you had experience in youth group, or maybe you went to a passion conference, or maybe you saw a YouTube video, or maybe you heard a worship song. Maybe there was something that happened to you decades ago, or maybe you felt called to ministry like a year ago. I mean, it didn't have to be forever ago that you felt like you were actually supposed to be in the ministry sphere of things. I just really would love to encourage all of us to remember the things that made us want to do this in the first place. I don't think there's anything wrong with doing ministry the way you feel like you're supposed to do it. For some of us, we feel a called assignment to do it full time, to pastor a church, to start a church, to start a small group, to start a ministry that travels, or whatever it might be. And then some of us feel like, hey, I want to serve my local community of believers. And so you just do that to the best of your abilities, and you have no interest in getting paid. And some of you, it's kind of switching back and forth depending on the season you're in. I think all of the above are great things. And I'm sure a lot of people hear this and they're like, well, you know, I work at a bank, isn't that ministry? And I will do future podcasts on my opinion on things like that. And I think there are plenty of things that don't involve a church building, that don't involve a worship song, that do not involve anything that we would say is quote unquote ministry that is ministry. And then I think there's honestly tons of things that we call ministry that unless our heart is engaged in a ministry facet, it's probably not ministry. But again, that is an episode for another day. But I would just love to encourage everybody. One thing I will do is I will actually listen to old albums that really made me feel something. I didn't even know what the something was, but when I listened to it, it made me feel like I was a part of something bigger than myself. I remember I would listen to the Passion album, Our Love Is Loud, or the Passion record, One Day. I was a big Passion person. But I remember those two albums specifically. I remember listening to Our Love Is Loud or Shane and Shane, Wash Me in the Water of Your Word. On my way to high school, like when I first got my driver's license, and I'm listening to these songs, I'm listening to Charlie Hall do Prepare the Way, Prepare the Way, Prepare the Way of the Lord. You are the light of the world. You are the light of the world, Jesus. And I remember hearing David Crowder for the first time, and I remember listening, Give us clean hands, give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. I remember listening to these songs and being like, this is me. Like, this is my song. Like, I feel like I'm a part of this. And honestly, a lot of the people that were singing those songs, those were probably, I don't even know if those songs were meant for my age group, because a lot of those were college CDs. Or at least most of the people listened to them were probably in college. But I remember, outside of all that, being like, man, when I hear this, I don't just resonate with the lyrics. I don't just resonate with the centerpiece of Jesus in the middle of all of it. But I feel like I could sing these. And I don't feel like I could just sing them. I feel like I could lead these songs. And I can actually see myself leading these songs among small groups and among my youth group at the time and among other people and maybe even inside my high school, and seeing people just surround this idea of, as a generation, giving everything to the Lord. I remember, you know, a big catchphrase at the time was being a nameless, faceless generation, like a generation that we didn't care who got the credit. We didn't care who was on stage. We didn't care who was famous. We didn't care who wrote the song. We didn't care who preached the sermon. But if God was there, we wanted to be in the middle of it. And I think sometimes when ministry is busy, when I just kind of show up to a sound check to lead worship, or I, you know, I've had a busy day and I have something to do that night, that's like a worship rehearsal or maybe a team night or something like that, and I'm just trying to decompress my brain from the day, the work day and all the responsibilities, and then I'm trying to like put on a worship hat or trying to put on a ministry hat, and maybe the transition isn't as smooth as I would like it to be. And all of a sudden, I will listen to those songs, or I will take time, maybe in devotional time, to listen to that music and to re-listen to some of those sermons, even from that season. And I will feel my heart kind of resuscitate itself with the memory of what made me feel so called to ministry in the first place. And I will then almost always, as soon as I lead worship or something like that, after doing that, I will immediately notice all the people that will come up. And obviously, it's not about the people making statements, but I do believe it does prove the point that all these people will come up and be like, wow, you felt more free today than I feel like you usually look, or you just felt more resolved in your leading than you typically do, or I felt just a carefree freedom and a authority when you were leading today, that, you know, not that you lead bad, but for some reason today just felt different. And I think it is because there's something about reigniting our memories to the things that we first felt called us into ministry in the first place. And I think when we reignite our imaginations to blend with our memories, I think it lets us know that longevity in ministry is possible. That longevity in ministry, regardless of what form it takes, if I led worship once a year for the rest of my life and no more than that, to me, that's longevity in ministry. If you preached a sermon, you know, once every 10 years, you know, but you did it consistently and you loved God more on the day he died than you do right now, I think that's longevity in ministry. I don't think it is about, you know, grinding away and just putting in the hours and just working like dirt. I think it is finding the healthy, consistent balance for you. And I think, honestly, from what I've realized in my life, it changes from season to season of what a healthy consistency looks like. And I think that's beautiful. And I don't think that's something to shy away from. I think it's more important to love Jesus, love his church, and love ministry on the day we die than it is. I think that's more important than being like, no, I finished the race. Now, granted, now I resent God and I have a bitterness issue against the church, but my God, at least I didn't quit. I don't know if that's the goal, I gotta be honest. And I think loving Jesus and letting the overflow be ministry is always going to be the safest bet. And I know when you are in the middle of a busy season like Easter, a lot of people are not thinking necessarily about healthy consistency. They are thinking about getting a task accomplished and a job done. And sometimes, you know, frankly, maybe that is needed from time to time. But I think in the middle of that, I want to encourage everybody. Maybe this week is a good time to listen to some old CDs or find the CDs on Spotify, whatever. Or listen to some old sermons on YouTube, or maybe even tell some old stories, like in your staff meeting or hanging out with your spouse, like being like, I remember I went to this one conference and I remember the speaker, he made this one statement. I remember it always stuck with me. And I remember when he made that statement, thinking to myself, I want to do ministry like that. I want to preach like that. I want to see God and see people like that. And I think going into Good Friday and Easter and all of that, and then beyond, like, because obviously it's kind of like a momentum swing out of Easter in most churches and most ministries, I think that would be the perfect time to have a revived purity in our souls of why we do what we do. Ministry is tough. Ministry is hard, but we can survive working for God. And I know a lot of people have a problem with the way I say that, because it's not working for God. It's a privilege to serve and blah, blah, blah. And it's my thank you. And on all of that, I think actually is very true. I don't know necessarily if that is practically helpful. So to me, it just helps because when I am doing a balance sheet, I mean, unless you just love balance sheets, that's work. And if I'm in rehearsals and I'm doing parts and I'm working on planning center and I'm doing all these things, that's work. It's not something I just can't wait to do. And I am doing it for God. I'm not doing it for giggles, and I'm not doing it for just some random company somewhere. Like, there is a purpose attached. There is a weighty anchor point and a root system behind it. And any of you that are working for God right now, part-time, full-time, whatever it might be, who cares? It doesn't matter if you're on the platform, doesn't matter if you're in the parking lot, doesn't matter if you clean the trash cans, doesn't matter if you get all the solos, whatever it is. I think this is a season for us to return and let our memories be reminded of what it was like when we first felt the pulls to ministry and what that looked like and what we thought our piece of the story looked like, sounded like, felt like. And then let that be integrated into the ministry we do this week, this weekend, and beyond. I think that's a beautiful thing. And I think it's something I think the people around us would be so much better off with a reminded version of us, of ministry and what that looks like. So thank you so much for listening to this episode. You all are amazing. You work so hard. You do so many things. And in some cases, you put up with so many things. And the Lord sees it all, and He is the ultimate rewarder. So thank you for everything you do, everything you have done, and everything you will do. You can survive working for God. I actually really believe that. And you can survive not just doing it, but at the end of the day, love God, love His people, and love that you ever said yes to ministry in the first place, more than you ever did on the first day when you were even interested in starting the journey. So have the best week ever. We will talk to you soon. Peace out.